Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, June 3rd, 2010. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. Well, this week we head to Steve Wilkes' house to see if he can complete a brewing trifecta, making a mead, a wine, and a beer in the same day. Will he do it? If you want to be surprised, don't look at the title of this episode. If you're new to home brewing and would like to get into the hobby for the first time, check out our website, basicbrewing.com, where you can find archives of our audio and video podcasts and our DVDs to walk you through basic and more advanced brewing techniques. You can find me on Twitter at basicbrewing, all one word. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/basicbrewing.james. And you can find our show page on Facebook at facebook.com/basicbrewing. Thanks again to everybody clicking on the Amazon.com associate link on our BasicBrewing.com site. Whenever you think of Amazon, think of us and click on our associate link first. It won't cost you any extra, and you'll be helping us to bring you this show, and we appreciate your support very, very much. As well, we appreciate those who have clicked on the associate links for Brew Your Own magazine and the American Homebrewers Association on our site, too. And you can find our Basic Brewing iPhone app on the iTunes store, and you'll be able to find bonus stuff most of the time there on the iPhone app. The first order of business, the deadline to submit your data for the BYO BBR Irish Moss Collaborative Experiment was June 1st. But if you got busy and didn't get a chance to complete your testing by then, you have an extension. Steve, Andy, and I will be getting together to taste our samples and to read your data on the evening of June 8th. So if you can get me your data before then, we'll be in good shape and you can participate. And of course, you can always, if you got in later and want to get your data into the magazine article that will follow eventually, then you can go ahead and do that as well. Even if you miss us on June 8th, you can submit your data on the data entry form at basicbrewing.com/experiment. And we've already received some entries, and thanks very much for those. And we have some more coming, I'm told. So looking forward to compiling all those results and tasting those beers that Steve and I have brewed in conjunction with that. If you listened to last week's show with Kai Troister on decoction and want to learn more from Kai, I've posted a couple of links in the description of last week's show. There's a link to Kai's detailed webpage on decoction, and there's also a link to Kai's set of YouTube videos. So go to basicbrewingradio.com and check those out. Thanks again to Kai for all the great information. Got a note from Mark Zapp, who you may remember is working with a grant to build a brewing sculpture up in New York, a fully functioning piece of brewing art. Mark says the website documenting the process or the project's progress is up and running. Go to brewingasart.com to see pictures as the machine evolves. Very cool. It looks good so far. When I looked at it, they had the wheels done, and the wheels are cool. I can't wait to see what the rest of that looks like. Brewingasart.com. I got a letter from Farmer John. That's John Fendley from Sustainable Seed Company. John says, "We are an heirloom seed company on the West Coast in wine country," he says, "but we love our beer." John says, "We've been restoring heirloom grain varieties back to the market and were surprised to get a number of people asking for brewing-type barleys. The challenge is what type to grow. We carry Lacy and Robust, but they are fairly common. Currently, we are growing out Beer, that's B-E-R-E, an old Scottish variety still used there today, but I'm not sure what else would be of interest to a home brewer. Any ideas? Thanks for any input." So they are look at Sustainable Seed Company out on the West Coast. They are looking to sort of restore heirloom grain varieties, and they're interested in what you would like to brew with. You can send an email to me, and I will forward that email to Farmer John. Or you can go to their website at sustainableseedco.com sustainableseedco.com. That's sustainableseedco.com. And check out what they're doing and send them a note through that. Sounds like an awesome project. And, you know, maybe fun to talk to them for the show in the future after we get finished with our Homebrewers Conference stuff. Now, I have a freebie for you. See, don't say I never give you anything. Of course, I give you free content every week, but that's beside that. I have a freebie for you. Actually, a couple of freebies. I get an email from graphic artist Gene Ullery Smith, who said, "I'm writing because I think I could help contribute to your show. I'm a graphic designer and take a lot of pride in labeling my various homebrews. I think it adds a lot to the perception of my beers. I think homebrewers have to overcome a stigma when sharing their beers. Many folks don't distinguish between homebrew and the old White Lightning in clay jugs. They wonder if this stuff will make them go blind," so on and so forth. Gene says, "It's easy to understand why. We are image-conscious people. Beer is a thing from the grocery store with ad campaigns and branding, mascots and endorsements. Homebrew is a special thing. We toil over recipes and technique. We hone and perfect our systems. Then, after months and years of efforts, we hand a blank bottle of who knows what to our friends. A cryptic scrawl of a Sharpie on the crown, the only hint at what might be inside." Gene says, "Really? I propose that a small amount of effort can help deliver a better experience to our friends and family." Boy, that sounds familiar, at least to me. Gene says, "Perception is reality. If it looks good, it will taste better." And Gene continues, "Anyway, I know that a lot of brewers would like to have a professional-looking label, but simply lack the requisite skills to create such a thing. I was considering generating a label template you could give out to your listeners, a PDF file wherein the artwork is created. A brewer can simply open the file, type in the name of their brew, and hit print. Done. Professionally designed and customized label. No muss, no fuss." Gene says it requires a newer version of Adobe Reader or Preview, if you're on the Mac, in order to type into the fields. So, long story short, Gene has generously provided two label designs. They are designed for Avery Labels. That is the label company, not the brewery, by the way, Avery. And if you have a free copy of Adobe Reader, you can edit the labels and print them for your beers. And I'll post a link to both of those label templates in the description of this episode on basicbrewingradio.com so that you can download those and you can use those to label your beers. Very cool. They are sharp-looking labels. Very nice. Many thanks to Gene for providing those for us. Awesome, awesome stuff. Now, longtime listeners to this podcast may remember that we generally take the month of June off because of the National Homebrewers Conference, which will be taking place in a couple of weeks, by the way, and family vacations. But I wanted to go over the results of the Irish Moss experiment before we go to the conference, so that's next week. Which leads us to this week. Being a holiday week, I thought it would be fun to tag along with Steve as he attempted a brewing trifecta, making a mead, a wine, and a beer all in the same day. Well, you might have a good idea where this is going. Once again, a long story short, there's not much educational value in this week's episode. But remember, we usually take June off, and you got free labels this week. So just sit back and listen to Steve and me have a little fun in the kitchen making some good stuff. Okay, here we are in the kitchen, Steve's kitchen to be more exact, and actual brewing is taking place in the background. As we speak,
I'm a mazer at the moment. I think, is that what it is? A mazer?
I don't know.
I'm making mead. I'm making mead.
You're a mead maker.
I'm a mead maker. But mazer? I think it's a mazer.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Somebody help us out with that.
Yeah, we'll be waiting on the phone call right now.
So anyway, here's what I'm making today, if my legs hold out. I'm making a 2.5 gallon batch of watermelon honey mead. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're getting ready to pitch and transfer into the carboy right now. And that's with some watermelon honey that was produced down around Little Rock.
By our buddy Dave.
That's right. And so thank you, Dave. Anyway, I got tired of looking at this gallon of watermelon honey, Dave, that I hadn't used. So I'm making a mead with it today, and we'll see how it goes, you know, see what happens with it. And then I've got a 12 pounds of Golden Promise and 3 pounds of Victory and some cool hops. Going to make a big old beer and put it up for the fall. And then...
But wait, there's more.
Wait, there's more. Then we're going to make a Malbec wine kit and mix that up. So it'll be a long evening, but that's what Memorial Weekends are for.
It's the trifecta.
It's a trifecta. Trifecta of brewing.
And I don't know if this recording session will encompass the entire trifecta, but we'll get as much as we can before I have to go home.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I'm not going to be here at midnight with you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Actually, I was thinking, I wondered if we should do, the mead is about done. That's real easy to do. And then the wine actually would be relatively easy to do. I don't know if we want to do the wine next or the beer next. I was kind of planning to do the beer next, but that's up to.
Well, I think the wine would be easy to do, and it would be done. And then we could, you know, do the, at least start the beer. And then go on from there. What are you putting in there? You got that cute little 2.5 gallon Mountain Valley spring water carboy there, and you're putting some stuff in there.
And I'm putting 2.5 teaspoons of yeast nutrient into the bottom of the carboy to get ready to accept the mead must.
And you were about to put something a bit more kind of natural,
more traditional. Well, okay. So last night I'm thinking about this brew day. And I decided that I wanted to make this mead. I wanted to use this honey up. So I said, well, I'll use one of these little carboys and make some mead. But I didn't have any yeast nutrient or acid blend or anything like that. So I went on to the internet. And I got on the internet. And lo and behold, discovered that you could use bee pollen as a yeast nutrient.
So you began rounding up bees.
I did. I captured a lot of bees and
rubbed their legs.
Yeah.
They like that.
Well, there were some oohs and ahs. But anyway, some bee pollen, and then one of the recipes said to abuse some raisins.
Is that legal?
I don't know. It was like a Nordic mead site, but it was like abuse raisins. And I thought, okay, that sounds good.
They've had a hard enough time already. They started as grapes.
Yeah.
They were set in the sun to wrinkle and dry.
Yeah. And then they heard it through the grapevine.
And then they put them in silly costumes with the little white gloves and the shoes and made them dance.
But
you're shelving that.
Well, Ann, because you showed up with an actual packet of commercial real yeast nutrients.
So. Yeah, and I had some because this is the stuff that we used when we were making our own Belgian candy syrup, or trying to.
That's right. And so I appreciated you bringing this. And now I got to take this damn bee pollen as a supplement because my wife will be like, what do you got this stuff for? Well, honey, it'll make me feel better.
It'll make me want to pollinate. The flowers will not be safe.
That's what she said.
So you got your... And you went to take a gravity reading on your must.
And it was blown off. I said, well, why won't this refractometer work? I can't get any reading at all. And we finally determined because it was completely off the scale.
Yeah, it was big.
Well, I've got about a little over half a gallon of honey, which I determined that my carboy would hold about 2 gallons. Mm-hmm. So I added a gallon of water. I brought a gallon of water up to 160 degrees, added the honey. And so it's a really, really thick must.
Yeah.
And then we had a little debate between the two of us about whether to break it in half and do more mead. And I just said, oh, heck with that. So
after we looked at the refractometer, and it was like no reading at all. And so Steve was like, well, what's wrong with it? It doesn't read anything. And so, I said, well, do a test. So he cleaned it off and he did tap water, with the refractometer, and it read zero, which is what it should. So we figured out that there was just so much darn sugar in the must that it was blowing the top off the refractometer reading, so to speak. And he got out the hydrometer and figured out that it was at, what, 1.150 or something like that?
That's right,
1.150.
So for about a gallon and three quarts or something like that. Mm-hmm. So we figured out that if you add enough water to bring your must up to 2 gallons in the thing, you will have a starting gravity of, what did we say, 1.130 or something like that?
1.131.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Which is high, but manageable for a mead, I think.
Well, we're going to find out.
Yeah.
I mean, this really is one of those things. It's like baking cookies, and you have a whole bunch of stuff, and you just throw them in there with some flour. That's what this is.
Well,
but I think it'll be fun. It'll be fun. And, you know.
And if it gets stuck, you put more yeast in there and see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
So you're about to, I'm going to leave you alone because you're about to pour the must into a funnel, into this little sanitized 2.5 gallon fermenter. Oh, you're cheating. You're going to do the little, the little cup first.
I'm going to do the little cup. And I am actually just, boy, this is thick.
But you're going to add water to this.
I'm going to top it off. With some,
It smells good. It
smells great.
So you went the pasteurization route on this mead.
I did because, well, it really is wild honey. I mean, it's real wild honey.
Unpasteurized.
It's been sitting in a gallon jug in my brew closet for about a year. I just thought, I'm going to pasteurize this stuff. Mm. And it's a really strong honey anyway. So, okay, I might lose some floral notes. I don't think you're going to tell with this honey.
It is strong honey. It's very dark. It smells great, though.
Actually, it really does. It smells like that smells like candy. You know, it's
a
sip of triple here.
Yeah, the New Belgium triple. And we have a couple of things. Megan from Portland, Oregon, sent us a stout that got here on Friday, which is chilling in the cooler. Which we're going to try later on. And then also got some for the beer from Evan in, I think it's Williamstown, New Jersey, sent us some experimental hops. Or I don't know if they're experimental, but they're new, and I haven't used them before. And so by the time we get to the beer portion, we will talk about those. So that's just a teaser to stay tuned.
Do you know what the alpha acid is on those hops yet?
The alpha acid on the hops is 2.8%.
Oh, wow.
So he said the head... Okay, well, all right. I might as well read. Evan says, one of our local breweries donated a huge bag of the enclosed experimental hops. They are experimental hops. For a homebrew celebration that they had. A little natural sound there. They are a hybrid... called, what would you call it?
Celia?
C-E-L-E-I-A.
No, they don't sing quite.
Celia, similar to Styrian Goldings, and they originated from Slovenia. The alpha acids are 2.8%. The head brewer recommends using them as a late aroma hop addition. I'm also, he's also enclosing the data sheet. So thank you very much, Evan. And thank you in advance, Megan, for the stout, which she said that she sent us the beers in appreciation for the information that she had, that she learned on the show about water chemistry. And I think it's from one of the shows that she learned from was a conversation with John Palmer. So we have to give props to John, and we will make a toast to to John in his absence. I got a piece of almond in my throat there.
I'm sure that was a joy.
Well, while you are... that actually smells good.
We need to take a new hydrometer reading with this, too, because the reading we took was
right
before I was topping this off with...
Right.
You
were
spring
topless.
Water.
You were topless before, and now you're topping it off.
That's right.
So after you top it off and then shake it to aerate it, maybe, you know, hopefully we can mix it in as much as possible in there. Wait, listen. You can tell we're making mead because I'm sticking to the floor.
I was going to say, before James got here, I was trying to get all of the crystallized sugar out of the bottom of the honey jar. And, you know, Tigger and Rabbit came over and helped me for a while. But they were no real help. So I ended up, you know, putting the honey jug into a double boiler and trying to let that, you know, liquefy. And then I was shaking it out. I felt like Pooh Bear. And so I'm shaking this stuff out. And ooh, suddenly Bob, I realized there's little fragments of honey going all over the kitchen. And we've had a problem with little sugar ants this spring anyway. Oh, so I'm sure my wife is going to be thrilled. Luckily, I have a day before she gets back from visiting her mother.
And she doesn't subscribe to the podcast, which is good.
Yes,
so.
That's very good.
So, okay, maybe this right. while you're doing that, maybe this is a good opportunity to pause momentarily, and we will come back, and we will see where we are in the whole process. So stay tuned. Okay, it's much later in the evening. A lot has happened since we last talked.
We finished the mead. We went to Subway. Delivered sandwiches forthwith.
Yeah, we took sandwiches to the next town, two towns over, actually.
Yeah.
To my family, and building brownie points there, and then we came back, and we actually had to borrow some brewing equipment from me. Is why we.
Oh, should we tell them what happened?
No. Some things are best.
Some things we just don't want to bring up. This is one of them.
Yeah. So anyway, necessitized that we needed to get some brewing equipment at my house. So on the way back to my house, we got some sandwiches for my family, thus gaining brownie points for me.
Right.
And then we came back and we ate the sandwiches and we talked for a long time about lots of things. Politics, religion, mm-hmm. all the things you're not supposed to talk about, probably.
Right.
And then
while
drinking an Avery Maharaja, among another beer or two.
Yeah.
And so then now it's now you've made your wine. What wine did we just put in the fermenter?
We made a Malbec. It's a Cru Select wine kit, premium wine kit from the home brewery in Fayetteville. And anyway, it's a Malbec, which is a nice grape. I really like them. My father-in-law introduced me to Malbec wines, which are commonly coming out of Argentina. And they're kind of big and spicy and tannin-y and chewy, and I like them a lot. So I got this wine kit really like 4 or 5 months ago. It's been sitting around waiting to be made. So this is a good thing to do on Memorial Day, so that's what we did. And we made the wine. It's got some Hungarian oak chips in it and some other oak and non-described oak in the kit. But but we know the one packet's Hungarian oak. And, it's really easy to make. I mean, at least this part. And then, so we're sitting right now talking about the IPA that I'm getting ready to make, which I was going to make tonight, trying to do the trifecta. But it's 8 o'clock at night, and my batteries are about done. But so I'm going to get up in the morning and finish the third brew, the third thing. Also, the ribs are cooking, too, so that was another thing that's in there. So the ribs are smoking right now. But anyway, we're trying to figure out what to do about the hop situation, because we've got some hops that were given to us.
By Evan from Williamstown. I believe it's Williamstown, New Jersey. These Celia hops, the Celia hops, and they are 2.8% alpha acid. And how would you describe the? Grab the bag there and give a whiff and let's give some character, because they're 2.8% alpha acid, so we don't want to use them as bittering. Wow, you can tell there are iPhones in the neighborhood, but they're not bittering. Not a bittering hop. It's not citrusy. It's not an American hop.
No, not at all. It's kind of spicy. It actually kind of reminds me of Sots in a way. It reminds me of Styrian, which I understand that that's one of its ancestors. So that makes sense. So no, it's not citrusy. It's not that. It's not that you know, grapefruit thing that we're getting from Simcoe and Amarillo and all that. I like it. I like it a lot. So what we're talking about is how to change my recipe. I've got this IPA going, and it's on the cusp of being an Imperial IPA. But it's not quite an Imperial IPA. And James is counseling me to add more hops.
Throw some more hops in there, dude.
Yeah, he's
inside so, reference, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you pile these new hops on at the end of the boil and just see what happens.
Well, I think it will. So right now the recipe is up to like 78 IBUs, but it's a pretty big beer. So you're counseling me to more hops, dude, more hops.
Yeah, I think 78 IPA or IBUs for a double IPA is, you know, these days it's kind of light.
I'm kind of light.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
That's right.
But no, I think you should pile these, you know, pile a bunch of these hops in a late hop edition. That way we can just see the hop character of this brand new hop to us, this experimental hop, and just see what it's all about.
I think I'll do that. So what I'm going to do right now, the recipe calls for 1 ounce of Chinook at 60 minutes, which would give me roughly 54 IBUs. So I think I might up the Chinook a little bit and then take the Fuggles out of the aroma hops at the end. I had an ounce and a half of Fuggles at the end. But I'll substitute this new hop. So, you know, two and a half ounces of that. I have to sit down and play with the alpha acid to get, you know, so I know what I'm doing. But so we'll have a Chinook bittering hop, and a Fuggles aroma hop, and then, I mean, yeah, flavor hop. And then the new hop, Celia, the new Celia hop will be the flavoring hop at the end. So we'll try that. We could even maybe dry hop that in a couple weeks.
Well, sure. Sure you could. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing that, how that comes out. And you've promised to take your recorder tomorrow morning when you actually do the brew and record some details.
I will. I'll take it around with me and record.
And you don't have to do like a whole hour.
I'll probably say everything that pops into my head.
Oh, God. That's bonus content.
Bonus content. B-roll. Makeup.
Steve alone, freeform thinking. That should be interesting.
Well, I've shut down several governments with that.
He could keep the psychology department here at the university going for a long time with it.
Now, don't we have a beer that's been given to us to try?
Oh, Megan's Stout from Portland. Should we pause and then taste that and then come back?
I believe that's the order of the day.
All right. Maybe the final order of this day. All right. We are pausing officially now. And it's gone.
I'm under the sun now. That's my favorite Chief Wiggins quote. He's trying to tell the other law, you know, the other policeman where he's at. I'm under the sun now. It just kills me. That's nice and roasty.
It's a very dark beer. And Megan said that the bottle conditioning due date was like the 29th.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, still fairly fresh in the bottle. And I've got another one just like this at home. This is a bomber. But it looks beautiful.
Well, it is beautiful. It's very roasty and well-balanced, I think. Nice. Good job. Thank you.
Mmm. Oh, that's very good. Oh, my. That's very rich and kind of chocolate. Ooh, deep.
Yeah.
Bitter chocolate notes in there. Ah, that is a tasty beer. I think we should, now that it's getting kind of dusky outside, we should, and then the heat of the day is gone, we should retire out to the deck.
Rejourn to the deck.
Rejourn. Rejourn or adjourn?
I think adjourn would probably be better.
I think we should return to the deck.
It's been a long day. But we've got... It is an ambitious day to try three batches of beverage fermenting in one day. Yeah. But you've got two.
I got two out of three, and I played a gig this morning, so...
Oh, wow.
You know, it's not... I mean, I didn't get home from the jazz brunch until like 3, so I don't feel too bad about it.
No, not at all. This has been a very productive day.
Yeah.
And tomorrow's another day.
That's right, Scarlett, and I don't give a damn.
All right. Well, cheers to Evan for the hops, and cheers to Megan for the beer. And we will
continue
with a rundown of the brew day tomorrow. Fast forward in time.
That's right. This is a very zen sort of experience, isn't it?
Yes.
Or lame. That could be another word.
Well, as you heard, we ran out of steam that Sunday evening, and Honeydew Projects kept Steve away from the brew pot the next day. So, the trifecta is a failure. But is it? Two out of three ain't bad, because now Steve's got a batch of watermelon honey mead, a bubbling away in the airlock there. And he's also got a batch of wine as well. So I think it was a day well spent. And a lot of fun was had by all, or at least us. And I hope you enjoyed it too. We will make up next week for the lack of educational content this week. Next week, it's back to business, serious business, with the results of the Brew Your Own magazine, Basic Brewing Radio, Irish Moss Collaborative Experiment. And then, the week after that, we are in Minneapolis. So we probably will be taking the week off week after next. Unless you see us there in person, we'll be recording a show on the Saturday afternoon, I think at 4 o'clock. So come and see us, please, so that we don't have an empty audience there. Moral support. We need moral support. Until then, if you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. We have just a few 2010 Brewers logbooks, and we've got shirts. Sent out some shirts today. So check those out on our website. You can also check out our homebrewing DVDs, Introduction to Extract Homebrewing, Stepping into All Grain, Low-Tech Lagering and Decoction Mashing, and Introduction to Wine Kits. And we've got combo deals to save you a few bucks if you want to buy more than one DVD at a time. And you can see a listing of the fine folks across the country who sell our DVDs on basicbrewing.com. And if there isn't a vendor in your area, you can order them online in our online shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody who's continuing to click on our Amazon.com link. We appreciate the support. Our featured products this week that were purchased through the link are the Pancake Handbook, Specialties from Betty's Ocean View Diner, and Portuguese Double Lever Corker, which is difficult to say even when I haven't been sipping on homebrew. Thanks again, everybody. And remember, I can't tell who bought what, so no worries there. Just click on the Amazon.com logo on our site the next time you feel like Amazon shopping. We appreciate your support greatly. And don't forget about the American Homebrewers Association and BYL Magazine. Links on our site, too. That's all until next week. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer, production help for Basic Brewing Radio. And our website is provided by Kelly Dotson, down in Austin, Texas. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.